It is taught in the Quran, for big and small.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Dear listeners, Assalamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio and you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Raldia Batul Najafi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you remember, in our last episode, we were talking how to manage the free time of our teenagers. So in today's program, inshallah, we will give some practical tips and guidelines how to fill their free time. Although most of our parents, they know better than us sometimes. They are very good managers. They know how to manage their time and their youth time. But still, because some parents, they don't have time, we will mention some of the activities. Through those activities, they can fill their youth's free time. And the most and very important activity is their, you know, physical activities. This is very important.
Yeah, especially nowadays because everything is, you know, on the chair and table and screen. So physically, mentally, spiritually, you know, we need to move, because as much as we move according to our need of our body, we will just taking, you know, benefit of that kind of movement. So it's so necessary. It's really, really important that we should, you know, direct and guide we means ourselves as a parents, that we should know how to fill the free time of our teenagers, because otherwise they're just killing their time. You know, that is the biggest danger, you know, and unfortunately damaging their life. There's golden period of life, which is teenagers.
Yeah, because they think they are enjoying. Yeah, they, while playing games, watching serials and movies, our teenagers, they think they are enjoying the most. They don't know that they are killing their
exactly. And I love this dua of Janabe Fatimatu Zahra salamullahi alayha, the way she is asking from Allah that Allahumma farighni lima khalaqtani la. Oh my Lord, oh my Allah, what I want some good quality time, yeah, free time, for what? For the purpose, for that vision for which you have created me. So mostly we don't know, you know, our purpose of life. So we are unfortunately busy. You know, everyone says I'm busy, but they are not busy, you know. So the true meaning of busy is showing here Lady Fatimatu Zahra salamullah alayha very nicely, that the true busy means you know, for what you are spending your time, how you are investing your time, and what you are getting back. So if you get something back in reward, yeah, if you're earning healthy means activities are just giving you health. The way you said, you know, physical activities means you are giving your time and you are taking back something really, really healthy. Which
definitely,
we all need, yeah.
Definitely. As I said, Islam always emphasizes on our physical activities, because if we have a healthy body, we will have a healthy mind.
No doubt.
And if we have a healthy mind, then definitely we will be successful in whatever thing we want to achieve. And we should be very cautious about the halal activities. Even in physical sports activities, we should keep in our mind that we should not cross the
limits, exactly.
Boundaries of our Sharia.
You know, nowadays, halal, haram, everything is so much mixed. I usually give this example to teenagers that don't say Islamic so strict. You know, don't say that, oh, everything is haram, haram. You don't allow me to eat this or to be part of this activity because you're saying it's not that much halal, you know. So I give them this example that, look, before, all kind of foods were just, you know, organic. It was so easy to eat healthy. But nowadays, because of all mixture which we have done, you know, human-made problems, yeah? So we made all this problem. Therefore, we are suffering a lot.
So, dear listeners, we will take a short break. Please don't go away.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. We were talking about the activities, halal activities, and in this time we should be very, very cautious about the halal activities. Especially in, you know, non-Muslim countries, it is very, very difficult for parents to control their kids and teenagers. But if we are living in a Muslim society, for example, in Islamic Republic of Iran, we are totally comfortable, you know, because here we have already separate stadiums, separate gyms, separate timings. So we are not too much worried about these things. But the parents who are living in the non-Muslim countries, Western countries, they have this problem. And I know it's very difficult for them. But if you consider about the Sharia, Islam, and the religion of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, definitely you will get a lot more reward compared to us practicing Islam in a very comfortable atmosphere. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah. According to Hadith, afzalul a'mali ahmazuha. You know, the amal, the action which is more challengeable, you will get more reward. Yeah. So even food, if you come to food, you know, hoteling, going to restaurants, even that is one of the halal entertainment, you know. Like nowadays, our youth, they love to go out and eat out. You know, sometimes they get very bored of best even food of the house. So sometimes we as a parents, we have to go, you know, we can choose any place to go. But again, in non-Muslim countries, you have to look for the halal food. And you will get the sawab, you know, when you fix your values, then you know which area you have to go and where you shouldn't. So this is very important that we should understand the feelings of our teenagers that, you know, that is their requirement. You know, with them, we can go to eat something out, or sometimes we can send them with their friends to play or so many other halal entertainments.
And some of our parents, maybe they would say that we don't have enough funds to send our, you know, teenagers to sports activities. This looks quite reasonable, but if you think, this is itself a big, big investment. It is right, you are spending some money and it seems to be useless. Yeah, you are sending your teenager for a sports and you are spending a lot of money. But in future, you will understand that this was a big, big investment. Because of these activities, because of your spending this much money, your teenager is saved from so many dangerous activities. Dangerous activities for their spiritual and for their soul.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we don't know where spend.
Please,
money.
Can you continue after a short break?
Yes,
because it's
not?
Time for a short break.
Ya muqiyal khayrat, ya muqiyal khayrat.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "The best among you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it."
Dear listeners, welcome back.
I really want to say this, that sometimes we don't know where we should spend money. You know, we don't have this training. For example, it's so easy to spend money in dressing for clothes, yeah, for food. But when it comes, for example, for books or for sports, we are very stingy because, you know, the culture is like that. You know, even spending money, it needs some mindset. You know, mentally, I'm prepared to give money for example, for food. Yeah, some people did spend so much for food.
We know a lot of families, they spend so much money on daily basis. They go to each and every restaurant of the city.
Yeah.
And sometimes they travel for just food, you know, different countries.
But when it comes, for example, for a book, yeah, if book is 1,000, for example,
$50.
Yeah, that is very expensive for them. And $100 for shoes is so cheap. Yeah. You know, that is the way of, you know, thinking. So this is a very important point, which you, mashallah, you are just addressing to parents, that always invest for your teenagers' physical activities, although sometimes you feel that it's too much, you know, maybe you are investing your time, because in so many countries you have to give them pick and drop, which is not easy. Your time, yeah, investing your time, investing your money, so many things you have to invest, then you will get back some fruits out of it. Yeah.
If we look at the history of our Ahlul Bayt alayhi muslim, especially early Islam, you know, where people would, as I said and you also mentioned, they would struggle a lot. So they didn't need this much exercise extra, you know. From morning till night, they would work on the fields and different issues. So they were very, very strong. But still our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or our Imam Ali or other Aimma, they would encourage them to participate in sports activities. This shows that how much Islam gives importance to our bodies. If our Muslimin and Mu'mineen believers, they would have a strong body, means they would have a strong mind. So, keeping these ahadith in our mind, we can conclude that how important it is to spend money and spend time and participate in sports, especially for our teenagers. If they are not interested, still we have to try our best to make them participate.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, even I love the concept of walk. Like they would walk from, for example, Medina till Makkah, for Umrah, for Hajj. So this is also shows, because nowadays mindful walking is also very becoming trend and common between youth. And I've seen many youth, they travel from Toronto, for example, to some beautiful areas of Kashmir, or, you know, some very beautiful areas of Tibet. They go there just for mindful walk. So they think and they walk. So the walk is also one of the halal entertainment.
Thank you so much. Dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed this beautiful discussion. If you have any comment or suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir. Thank you so much for joining us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest.
Cultural news, social news, Scientific News. Artistic News. With the light.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, is celebrated worldwide by millions of people, including the people in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The region, known for its natural beauty worldwide, turns magical each year during its spring season. To mark nature's revival, the people of Kashmir have dedicated a day to thank the mesmerizing beauty of spring. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt reports.
As the spring season begins in Kashmir, the earth turns lush green and the trees bear colorful blossoms, with the sky visibly blue and waters clear and glassy. After a not-so-harsh winter this year, the people of Kashmir are welcoming the onset of spring. Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, marks the beginning of spring and is celebrated on March 21st. New trees are planted while people offer prayers and seek God's help for a prosperous year.
Each year we await this season so that we can plant new trees. The process of their growth gives us hope, and that hope teaches us that God has set a time for everything. We can't fast-track it. We can only do our best efforts.
On the occasion of Nowruz, women in Kashmir prepare unique dishes made from lotus stem and fish. Mehra and her sister have a busy day today. Friends and family are invited to relish the moment.
We have been taught by our mothers and grandmothers to cook these delicacies on the special occasion of Nowruz. It requires lots of dedication, and what matters is that this food brings friends and families together, and a lot of positive energy is exchanged. For us, Nowruz is not just an occasion, but it marks a fresh beginning of love, growth, and prosperity.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the Kashmiri administration often organizes musical festivals to add fervor to the celebrations. People, especially children, visit these musical festivals in large numbers so that the year starts with cheerful memories. This year, scores of tourists have also come to witness Kashmir's spring.
We had heard that Kashmir looks magical, but we witnessed in reality that this land looks fabulous, especially the spring season.
The early arrival of tourists has added a lot of positivity to Kashmir's tourism sector, which has been hit hard by years of political instability and turmoil. Persian culture is deeply rooted in Kashmir, and celebrating Nowruz is a sign of its influence.
Nowruz marks a new beginning, and after suffering decades of political instability and 2 years of the COVID pandemic, people are only hoping for a return back to a normal life and an everlasting peace. Shahana Bhatt, Indian-administered Kashmir.
Turkey inaugurates the world's longest suspension bridge over the Dardanelles Strait. The bridge is more than 2 kilometers long and connects Turkey's European and Asian shores. It cuts travel time between the two locations to just 6 minutes. A consortium of Turkish and South Korean firms began constructing the huge bridge in 2017 with a budget of 2.5 billion euros. 5,000 workers participated in the colossal undertaking. Passenger vehicles must pay a fare of 200 Turkish liras, or around $14, to use the bridge. In Peru, paleontologists have unearthed the skull of a ferocious marine predator that is an ancestor of the modern-day whale. The 36-million-year-old skull was dug up intact after it was discovered in Peru's southern desert. The fossil belongs to an ancient mammal whose contemporary descendants include dolphins. Recreations of how the animal looked like show it mostly resembles a giant lizard that moved like a snake. Paleontologists say it was a top predator measuring some 12 meters long.
The discovery is very important because the skull is in a perfect state of preservation. The skull and the jaw are in the right anatomical position. The teeth are complete. It's very possible this might be a new Basilosaurus species. If this is so, there is no other fossil like this one anywhere else in the world.
Salas further explained when the ancient animal died, its skull might have sunk to the bottom of the seafloor, where it was quickly preserved. The skull, measuring 1.3 meters long, was unveiled at Lima's Museum of Natural History. The Peruvian desert is rich in fossils and offers scientists 42 million years' worth of evolutionary evidence. Other fossils found there include the four-legged dwarf whale and sharks, among others.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A painter in Pakistan shifts from trucks to trainers to uncover a hip new canvas for his famous truck art. Haydar Ali says he works on each pair of shoes for up to 4 days, and his paint of choice is mainly acrylic. He also uses other forms of durable material such as oil paints to get the job done. The seasoned artist charges select clients $400 for each set. His designs feature intricate bespoke patterns including flowers, peacocks, and wildly colorful motifs. He says new requests typically arrive every 4 days. Orders for painted trainers started pouring in for the truck artist after a surge of social media interest.
Ideas keep popping up for me, and sometimes clients have ideas. A client came to me from the US asking for a painting on some shoes. I told him an exorbitant fee to discourage him, but he agreed, so I decided, let's do it then.
He has dispatched 8 pairs to various places in Pakistan and abroad since he first started painting trainers in January. Ali comes from a family of truck artists who made a living off of painting lorries. He came to international fame when his work was exhibited at a museum in the US 2 decades ago. So far, the veteran truck artist has applied his craft to an airplane as well as a passenger car, among others. The art form is mainly seen on Pakistani trucks, and today, the trade is one of the country's most famous cultural exports.
Archaeologists have discovered a 500-year-old Aztec altar with 164 in Mexico City, Mexico's largest starfish offering discovered to date. Archaeologists believe it was built around the year 1500. Jaguar bones and other remains such as seashells were also found. Scientists believe the fossils found correspond to a species known as chocolate chip sea star or Nidorella armata.
This is really interesting because if you think about it, chocolate chip sea star looks like the skin of a jaguar. It's orange with dark spots. Probably that is why this species was selected, but we still need to analyze all the starfish because we found 160 of them and we think they all belong to the same species, but we need to research further every one of them.
According to experts, the location of the altar within the Templo Mayor complex and the jaguar motifs suggest the offering was related to the war. Mexico is brimmed with archaeological sites of several civilizations, including Aztecs. retired race horses could be retrained for a new role as so-called therapy horses. According to a study led by the University of Bristol, veterans and disabled children, as well as those struggling with mental health issues, can benefit from the therapy horses. The three-year study aims to provide a global standard for the racing industry and a toolkit for retraining race horses. A racehorse's career can last anywhere between 2 and 10 years, but better could be done to make use of these beautiful creatures soon after they're retired.
So racehorses, when they finish their racing careers, and they can finish as young as sort of 3 or 4 years old, they really don't want to be just standing around in fields for the next 20, 30 years. And they're so versatile that I really believe there's a job for 99% of them. I think there's almost a sixth sense with the horse. People needing therapy, whether that's mental health or physical disabilities, there seems to be sort of something that gels between a horse and a human.
Horse trainers say with the thoroughbred's lifespan between 25 to 30 years, this study's aim is crucial for their long-term welfare. Over 7,000 racehorses end their career every year in Britain, with many going into eventing and pleasure riding. A killer whale beached on a Mexican shore has been rescued by locals and environmentalists. Volunteers with a group called Youth Allied to the Environment helped carry the orca out of the sea. The whale was loaded onto a truck and taken to a large dock for medical examination. Volunteers say locals gathered to form a human chain in an effort to quickly fill the tub with water. The orca is being treated at a marine biology department of the Yucatan Autonomous University. Veterinarians say the whale appeared to have some pulmonary problems and will be released back to the ocean after the recuperation.
To some people, it is just garbage, but to this Filipino woman, recyclable items have become a source of livelihood as she turns them into beautiful outfits. Leonora Biovaje is an experienced dressmaker who can weave and stitch nearly any type of material together to make fashionable frocks and gowns. She uses newspapers, plastic wrappers, and rice sacks as her clothing materials. She says rice sacks have the advantage of print and patterns, which both bring texture and color to her designs. This seamstress says she often uses packaging and bubble wraps from her children's delivery orders to make her gowns, among other materials.
It's good to use recycled materials because the cost is inexpensive. All you are really paying for is labor. It is durable, colorful, and we can help the environment at the same time.
She says her dresses sell for $30 to $50 and are used in weddings and other debut events. The recycled materials used for each dress would depend on her client's request. Her designs using recycled materials have also caught the attention of local fashion events. Leonora says she hopes to inspire others to create clothing out of ordinary recycled materials.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Question today is a very important one, and inshallah by answering this we will put a lot of doubts to rest, and also inshallah we will help our Shia brothers understand some few points about this question. The question, it is as follows: Sunni Muslims do not believe in one of the fundamental principles of Islam, which is the imamate, of course, in our viewpoint. Why do we then consider them Muslims when they do not believe in one of the tenets of Islam? It's just like believing that Allah, He is not one, is it not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Technically speaking, what is taken from the verses and the narrations, and it is explained by the Shia scholars, is that we have two terms here. We have the Usul al-Din, which are the fundamentals of the religions, and then we have Usul al-Madhab, the beliefs related to the like denominations and Islamic sect. So according to the Shia scholars, what constitute Usul al-Din are three: to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only God, to believe in Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family as the last prophet, and to believe in the Resurrection Day. So these are what we call it Usul al-Din. And as far as I know, all Shia scholars believe that for any person to be considered as a Muslim, of course I will talk about the term Muslim, it is enough for him or her to believe in these three fundamental beliefs: to believe in God and Prophet and the Day of Judgment. And that is why almost all Muslims, excluding some, Wahhabis and Salafis, they believe that whoever testifies that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the Prophet is the messenger of Allah, and of course they also would believe in the Day of Judgment because of the verses of the Quran, they are considered as a Muslim based on fiqh and jurisprudence. I will talk about that later. So from this perspective, we cannot claim that imamate is one of the fundamentals and basic beliefs of the religion of Islam, which, if we believe so, it requires that if no one believes in that, he or she is not a Muslim. No, this is not the viewpoint of the Shia scholars. But then we come to the Usul al-Madhab, which means that what makes a person to be a Shia. And now one of the beliefs as one of the as principles of Usul al-Madhab is imamate and also adl, or justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
And from this perspective, if a person wants to be Shia, then he needs to believe in the concept of imamate as viewed by the Shia. So this is the first point. And for that, let me share with you and the dear listeners a couple of the Shia scholars' explicit statements in this regard.
Please do.
For example, Sayyid Abdul Hussein Sharafuddin, the great Shia scholar of theology, in his famous book, Al-Fusul al-Muhimma fi Ta'lif al-Ummah, he says the following. He mentions that, according to us, all the people who believe in God, in Allah as the only God and the Prophet, all of them, they are considered as Muslim. So for sure, our Sunni brothers, they are Muslim, and there is no doubt about that. وَهَذَا فِي غَيَةِ الْوُضُوحِ مِنْ مَذْهَبِنَا لَا يَرْتَابُ فِيهِ ذُو اعْتِدَالٍ مِنَّا. It is very crystal clear, based on the Shia school of thought, that the Sunnis are also Muslim, and no one has cast any doubt regarding this.
Right.
Quoting some of the contemporary, more contemporary Shia scholars, I may refer to Ayatollah Khoi rahmatullah alayhi in his At-Tanqih fi Sharh Urwat al-Wuthqa, volume 9, page 93. He says that Ahl sunnah, they are Muslim, they are mahkuma mit tahara, they are pure. And all the effects that are there for being a Muslim, for being a Muslim are for Sunnis as well. So, for
example, the rules of jurisprudence. Right.
So, for example, talking about the fact that, I mean, when it comes to eating and drinking and so on, and buying and selling with Muslims, it, from all these points in Islamic jurisprudence, Muslims for sure are Sunnis for sure are considered as Muslims. And the great Shia scholar Muhaqqiq Ardabili says that it is very, I mean, he says that the Sunnis are Muslims as long as they do not reject one of the daruriyat, one of the fundamentals of the religion, like a nasb. I need to explain this view, this point. We have a concept which is known in Islamic jurisprudence, especially the Shia one, as the concept of nasb or being nasibi. Being nasibi means to be an enemy toward the Ahlul Bayt,
the household of the Prophet.
Exactly. According to the Shia scholars and to the Shia school of thought, if a person is an enemy to the Ahlul Bayt, I mean, he may use bad words against them, then he is not a Muslim at all. He is not pure, he is not, I mean, religiously speaking, a Muslim, not at all. It is as if he is a disbeliever in terms of being impure and so on and so forth. So for Nasibis, we are not, I mean...
we do not consider them Muslims.
At all. So this is the viewpoint of the Shia scholars. But I do not think that we can find many such people among Muslims. Almost all Muslims, they respect the family of the Prophet. Right. And hardly we find among Muslims a person who claims that he is the follower of the Prophet,
and then hate his family.
It doesn't. Right. It may not happen, but if it happens, and of then, course we have some examples.
Is he really a follower of the Prophet?
Yeah, he's not anymore.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So we have had some examples in the history of Islam, and that is why we have this term Nasibi. For Nasibis, for sure, they are not Muslim. And this
like
is
ISIS, recently.
Some of them. So I'm not going to mention the viewpoints of other Shia scholars. So it is very clear from, the viewpoints of Shia scholars that the Sunnis are Muslim, religiously speaking, based on Islamic jurisprudence. As long as they do not hate the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, they are not...
wage war against them.
Yeah, so from that perspective, all of them are Muslim. Now, the next point is that what we called so far is about the concept of Islam based on jurisprudence and fiqh. Then doesn't mean that all Muslims are in the same level. The answer based on the Quran is that no. We have different ranks, we have different levels and stages when it comes to both Islam and Iman, also faith. Right. The same is true about the Shia as well. So as Shia is a person who believes in the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the other
commonly Imam. Commonly in our Uruf, but to be precise, as we all know, Shia, proper Shia also stages.
Exactly. So does it mean that all the people who follow the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt...
They are Shia?
I mean, they are Shia based on jurisprudence and theology. But are they in the same level? No, we have many ranks, and we take it from the Noble Book of Quran. Like, for example, in one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ أَمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. The Bedouin Arabs, some of them, they claim that we are... Right. Faithful, we are mu'min.
One of the tribes came to the Prophet and without war, because the other tribes, they had waged war against the Prophet, and after defeat, they submitted to Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But they came and they said, look, O Prophet, we came without war, without anything, just to submit to you. And that's the story of this
And the Holy Prophet, according to this verse, told them that, no, you just can't claim that we are Muslim, but you cannot claim that we are Mu'min.
Right.
Now, this is one point. So these Bedouin Arabs, according to this verse, can call themselves Muslim, but not Mu'min. At the same time, in the Noble Book of Quran, a great prophet like Ibrahim calls himself Muslim. The Prophet Muhammad is called Muslim in the Noble Book of Quran, peace be upon him and his family. Doesn't mean that, na'udhu billah, Ibrahim, Prophet Muhammad, and these Bedouin Arabs, all of them are Muslim and they are in the same level? Of course not. What we get from the Noble Book of Quran is that Islam, the concept of Islam and the concept of Muslim, even itself, let's forget about Iman, Muslim has so many different ranks and levels.
Right.
So a prophet like Prophet Ibrahim may call himself a Muslim. Our prophet may call him Muslim, may call himself Muslims. Those Bedouin Arabs, na'udhu billah, those people like Abu Sufyan after the conquest of Mecca, they also called themselves Muslim. And the prophet accepted their Islam. But does it mean that they are like Salman, Abu Dhar, I mean, and so on and so forth?
Of course not. Right.
So my point is that I'm not talking about Shia and Sunni. Generally speaking,
Islam
and Iman, we have different ranks, levels, and stages based on your beliefs and your actions.
I don't have time,
but otherwise I wanted to talk about different 7 to 8 stages as mentioned by, for example, Allama Tabatabai, different ranks for Islam and Iman.
Right.
So not all the people are in the same level, not all the people are in the same stage, level of Iman and Islam. But when we are talking about theology and jurisprudence, whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet of
the Shahadatain,
he is considered as a Muslim, be it a great companion of the Prophet like Salman, or those people who just seemingly embrace the religion of Islam like after the conquest of Mecca. At the end of the day, they testified to the oneness of Allah and the fact that the Prophet is the last Prophet. So based on jurisprudence, Islamic jurisprudence, they are Muslim, like they are pure.
Right.
And they are not considered as disbelievers. But does it require that all of them are in the same level? No. So for Shia, for Sunnis, all of us are Muslim. The Shia are considered as Mu'min according to the narrations. But it doesn't mean that all the people are in the same level. We need to check our beliefs and our actions.
Sheikh, one final short question. Should we investigate whenever, for example, a seemingly non-Muslim person, he comes to us and he says, I am a Muslim, and he has said the Shahadatain, and he says it again so you can hear it. Should we investigate? Should we just take it at face value and consider him a Muslim, even though he drinks and does all of these misdeeds that are not Islamic?
Should we investigate if he believes? Explicit verse in the Quran says that you are not allowed to, some people come to you and say that we are Muslims. You are not allowed to say that, no, you are not Muslim, and we need to investigate and so on and so forth. We have a verse regarding this in the Noble Book of Quran. But then, in practically speaking, in Muslim communities, we should not fool ourselves. So, yes, we accept their Islam, but doesn't mean that there is no possibility of them just pretending to be Muslim.
Right.
We may do some later precautionary actions to find the reality, but we are not allowed to reject them as new Muslims.
So, in essence, be prudent.
Yeah.
And with that, we will end today's session because we are out of time. I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and sharing with us his knowledge. It has been very beneficial, and I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn. لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَإِذَا رَأَوْكَ إِنْ يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا أَهَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولًا.
And when they see you, O Muhammad, they take you not except in ridicule, saying, is this the one whom Allah has sent as a messenger?
إِنْ كَادَ لَيُضِلُّنَا عَنْ آلِهَتِنَا لَوْلَا أَنْ صَبَرْنَا عَلَيْهَا وَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ حِينَ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ مَنْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا.
He almost would have misled us from our gods had we not been steadfast in worship of them. But they are going to know, when they see the punishment, who is farthest astray in his way.
Brothers and sisters, we reached the 42nd verse of Surah Al-Furqan. إِنْ كَادَ لَيُضِلُّنَا عَنْ آلِهَتِنَا لَوْلَا أَنْ صَبَرْنَا عَلَيْهَا وَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ حِينَ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابَ مَنْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. He would have led us astray from our gods if we had not been stanch to them. And soon they will know, when they see the chastisement, who it is that is most misled in path. This holy verse, dear listeners, is mentioning the rest of the pagans' words. You may remember, they used to ridicule the Holy Prophet, they used to ridicule the concept of messengership, but it was through the denial of the Holy Prophet himself. أَهَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولًا, the 41st verse said. Is this the one whom Allah has sent us a messenger? So they used to seek different pretexts. First, they called him insane or bewitched, and then they continued finding different pretexts, like why does he eat like us? Why does he walk like us? Why doesn't he have an angel accompanying him, etc.? And they did not want to accept the truth about hereafter. بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ نُشُورًا. They did not hope to be raised again. They hoped not to be raised again, to be put better. And this is what stopped them from seeing the truth. Anyway, this verse continues saying, إِنْ كَادَ لَيُضِلُّنَا عَنْ آلِهَتِنَا لَوْلَا أَنْ صَبَرْنَا عَلَيْهَا. The polytheists and the pagans, better say, will continue their arguments, saying, he would have led us astray from our gods if we had not been patient to those idols, better say.
على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
حفظ الكتاب بصدره فبدا وضيئا كالنجوم تألقا وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, the first point we understand from this beginning part of the verse is that patience and resistance is not always an essentially a value and merit. If you are patient, if you are resistant in the wrong path, this cannot be counted as a value. Sometimes it is stubbornness. Sometimes it is obstinacy, such as resistance and patience in being misled and deviation. So they say, it is really good that we stood with our idols. إِنْ كَادَ لَيُضِلُّنَا عَنْ آلِهَتِنَا. He would have led us astray if we had not been careful. But the Holy Quran answers them in some ways. In first answer to this group of people who were not logical, with a striking sentence, the Holy Quran says, وَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ حِينَ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ. Soon they will know, when they see the chastisement, مَنْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. They will see who is it that is most misled in the path. This chastisement that the Holy Quran discusses may refer to the punishment of hereafter. So when the verse says, وَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ حِينَ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ, the word عَذَاب might be talking about the punishment of hereafter, as some commentators such as Tabarsi in Majma' al-Bayan believe. It might also be the punishment of this world, such as defeat in the different battles of Badr and the like. And this is what other commentators like Qurtubi in his famous commentary says. And it may also refer to both of them. Mentioning one of them as meaning does not restrict and limit the generality of the verse. Yet, the interesting fact about this group of misled people is that they presented contradictory words. On one hand, they ridiculed the Holy Prophet ﷺ, they ridiculed his call, and they wanted to say that the claim of the Prophet ﷺ was so baseless that it did not deserve strict handling. They did not consider it as an important thing. And on the other hand, they believed that if they did not stick to the traditions and religions of their ancestors, if they did not stick to their idol worshipping, it would be possible that the words of the Holy Prophet ﷺ deviated them from them. And this shows that they counted the Prophet's words really effective and serious. Brothers and sisters, we will continue our discussion about this 42nd verse of the chapter, God willing, in the next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets this life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always, but for me, worry ends when fixed.
everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Subcontinent.
The Subcontinent.